Almost every year during this sermon, somebody walks out. Somebody walks out because they don't like what I'm going to say. And if that's you this morning, I just want to encourage you to try to stay a little longer. Try to stay a little longer and consider what God says about this. This is not what we normally do at this church. The normal diet of what we do in this church is preach through books of the Bible. We're in Matthew's gospel right now, and we go through verse by verse. But we do take certain times to go through certain topics. And this is one of the topics we cover once a year, at least, with giving a whole Sunday, a whole sermon to it. And we do that because there are laws in this country where we live and all over the world that say what God abominates is legal to do. And it should not be legal. And because this is such a systematic injustice, a systemic injustice, we address this. The text for the sermon this morning is Exodus 20, verse 13, one of the Ten Commandments. Exodus 20, verse 13. You shall not murder. Exodus 20:13. You shall not murder. Father, we need you today. This is always one of the hardest Sundays to preach. People don't come when they know this is the topic. People walk out. Just like they did in Jesus' ministry. Many walked away from Jesus. And so, Lord, I pray you would give me boldness to not shrink back from declaring the whole counsel of God on this particular matter. Father, we pray that people won't walk out. We pray that people will come, that people would love your word. Father, we pray that you would increase our love for hard truth and increase our love for your glory, increase our love for little children. Lord Jesus, we know you got particularly ramped up when people caused little ones to stumble. You said things like it would be better that a millstone be hung around their neck and they be cast into the sea than they make one of these little children stumble. It would be better for them not to be born if they made a little child stumble. And Lord, today we're talking about chopping up little children in little pieces and pulling them out of the womb. And Lord, we know you hate that. And so God, we pray you would be with us today, that I would speak with the right tone, with the right feelings, with the right words. Father, we ask, Holy Spirit, that you would be at work. Father, we pray for those people here who may have supported abortion in any way, or paid for an abortion, or had an abortion. We ask, oh God, that they would know that there is forgiveness in Jesus Christ and in Jesus Christ alone. And so we pray this would be a grace-filled time as well, and that we would know we are great sinners. But Lord Jesus, we praise you that you are a great Savior. And so lift up your Son today. And be glorified today. Change minds and hearts today. Save babies yet to be born today. Save sinners. Oh God, work, we pray, beyond what we could ever dream or imagine. Give us your Spirit. Help us hear for Jesus' sake. Amen. It's tragic that this needs to be said to the Christian church. To be pro-choice is to be pro-murder and anti-Christ. To be pro-choice is to be pro-murder and anti-Christ. But that it does need to be said reveals the truth of what Jesus said would happen when he returns. Many, many people who think they are Christians, but do not actually believe what Christ taught or seek to follow Christ's example, will be cast into hell. Luke 18:8, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth? Or as we've seen recently in Matthew 7:21-23, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. On that day, many, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do many mighty works in your name? And then will I declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. I can assure you that those who have true, genuine, saving faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and are doing the will of his Father in heaven do not support the mass execution of innocent children by abortion. They don't. Sadly, one poll found that almost half, 44% of American Christians believe the Bible is ambiguous or unclear about abortion. There are even so-called pastors who claim to love and preach Jesus Christ, but who are pro-choice. And if you're here this morning and you don't know what pro-choice means, pro-choice, in the way it's used in our culture, means that you believe that parents should have the right to have their own children killed through abortion. That's what it means to be pro-choice. You believe in a woman's right to choose to kill her own children. And pastors who preach, claim to preach, claim to be pastors, say they're pro-choice. Raphael Warnock, a U.S. senator from Georgia who is the pastor of Ebenezer Baptist Church, which is said to be the spiritual home of Martin Luther King Jr., wrote this on his Twitter feed. I am a proud pro-choice pastor. And as a senator, I'll always fight to protect a woman's right to choose. One article in Religious News Service said this, many Christians agree that abortion should be legal in all or most cases, including 60% of white mainline Protestants and 56% of Catholics. According to a 2019 poll from Pew Research, black Protestants were even more supportive, with 64% of those surveyed saying the same. Beloved, I want you to understand, people like that are not saved. They don't know Jesus. They are going to go to hell unless they repent. And love says that. Matthew 7:13-14, Jesus said, enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide, and the way is easy that leads to destruction. Beloved, we saw this. Jesus says the way that leads to hell is wide and many people going through. Many will enter destruction, for the gate is narrow, hard, the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few, few. If you claim to be a Christian, and yet you consider yourself to be pro-choice, I hope and pray that you will listen today, that you will repent and trust in Jesus Christ alone, by faith alone, before you face him on that great day of judgment, lest you hear him say those most frightening words, I never knew you, depart from me. There will be no excuses on that day. There will be no mercy on that day. The pro-choice, pro-abortion position is one of the most wicked, evil, vile, godless, antichrist political positions in the history of mankind. What is worse than supporting the murder of millions of innocent children? But, beloved, I want you to hear this. When I first preached a sermon in this church 10 or so years ago on abortion, after the sermon service, a woman came up to me, distraught, and said, "Pastor, is it really murder? Because I've had 6 abortions." What do you say? Yes, it is murder. But you can be forgiven through the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, this is not just a downer, heavy moment, but this is also a moment to celebrate. For those of us who've made really bad decisions in our past and have sinned greatly like this, we have a gospel. We have a gospel that is strong enough and powerful enough and beautiful enough and saves sinners, of whom I am foremost. And so I want you to know, if you're here, if you're online, if you've done this before, you've paid a doctor to kill your own child 1 time, 2 times, 6 times, 1,000,000 times. If you agree with what God says about this, and I'm going to spend the majority of my time getting you to agree with what God says about this, if you agree with what God says, and you repent and believe in Jesus, you are forgiven. Because God loves sinners. God loves sinners who have abortions. God loves men who pay for their girlfriends or wives to get abortions. God loves sinners so that He sent His Son, His only Son, His perfect Son, His beloved Son, Jesus Christ, the God-man, fully God and fully man. He sent Jesus into the world to live a perfect life. And Jesus loved the little children. Unlike our culture, He loved the little children. He said things like I mentioned in that prayer. If you touch one of these little ones, oh, better that you weren't born. Jesus loved the little babies, loved the little children. He put His hands on them. He blessed them. He came loving, living, serving, obeying the Father perfectly. And then died on that cross where He took our sin upon Him. If you had an abortion, He was counted as committing the sin of abortion. Took your sin upon Him. Took all your sins. Took your pornography addiction upon Himself. Took your sex addiction. Took your sexual morality. Took your insubordination, your pride and arrogance. Took your prayerlessness. Took your anger. Took your murder upon Himself. And then His Father crushed Him, cursed Him, put upon Him the wrath and curse of God, and He died. And He was buried. And on the third day, He rose from the dead. That's why we're here this morning. He is risen. He is risen indeed. He conquered sin, death, and hell, and He lives evermore to save all those who would turn from sin and believe on Him. And so, friend, if you're here this morning and this message is going to come heavy to you, remember, we're great sinners, but we have a great Savior, and His name is Jesus, and He saves sinners. And so remember that. Come to Him. Believe in Him. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. But friend, you need to realize that God's Word makes it very clear that there are actions and beliefs that you can't do and believe and still think you're going to heaven. Paul, inspired by the Holy Spirit, gives one of these lists in 1 Corinthians 6. Verses 9 through 11, and he lists the sexually immoral will not inherit the kingdom of God. Men who practice homosexuality will not inherit the kingdom of God. Liars will not inherit the kingdom of God. Murderers will not inherit the kingdom of God. And you could add pro-choice people will not inherit the kingdom of God. Pastor Warnock needs to get saved. He needs to be born again. He needs to repent and be saved by the blood of Jesus. Friends, many pastors are going to bust hell wide open. Many pastors who stand in pulpits every Sunday are going to bust hell wide open. They don't know the God of whom they preach about. And so let's think about this today. Point number one, the Bible clearly and explicitly forbids murder. The Bible clearly and explicitly forbids murder. Exodus 20:13, you shall not murder. You shall not murder. Murder is killing or taking the life of a human being unjustly. Only God gives life. God has rights over life. God chooses to give life and withhold life. You don't have the right to take it. I don't have the right to take it. That's God's place. And God commands, you shall not murder. Point number two, the Bible clearly and explicitly teaches that a baby in the womb is a human being. The Bible clearly and explicitly teaches that a baby in the womb is a human being. People say that a woman has a right to choose what she does with her body. The problem is there are two bodies we're dealing with. Her body and the baby's body that God is knitting together inside of her. A child in the womb is a human being being made in God's image and is known by God, the Bible teaches. God is knitting that child together in the womb for His own glory, and life is life in the womb, such that if the child dies in the womb, a life is lost and the mother is thought of as a grave for the child. I want to show you all of that from Scripture. A child in the womb is a human being made in God's image and is known by God. Jeremiah 1 verse 5. Before I formed you in the womb, God said to Jeremiah, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you. I appointed you a prophet to the nations. God is knitting the child together in the mother's womb for His own glory. Brother Howard read from Psalm 139 in our call to worship, verses 13 through 16. God says, he writes about His work in the womb, for you formed me. And so the psalmist here is speaking to God, but he's telling God what God did when He was being knitted together in the womb. For you formed my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth. Your eye saw my unformed substance. In your book were written, every one of them, the days that were formed for me, when as yet there were none of them. It's God's handiwork, knitting together in the womb of your mother. And life is life in the womb, such that if a child dies in the womb, a life is lost and the mother is thought of as a grave for the child. Jeremiah spoke of his life in Jeremiah 20:17 and said, for he did not kill me in the womb with my mother as my grave. You can be killed in the womb. For he did not kill me in the womb with my mother as my grave. This is true not only biblically, but even science. People are so eager to follow the science. Okay, let's follow the science. Even science shows us that life begins at conception or fertilization. In one study, an overwhelming majority of biologists, 95%, even including pro-choice biologists, affirm that life begins at fertilization. When the sperm and the egg meet, life begins. Stephen Jacobs was a University of Chicago PhD candidate who recently successfully defended his dissertation called Balancing Abortion Rights and Fetal Rights, a Mixed Method Mediation of the U.S. Abortion Debate. For his research, Jacobs recruited 5,502 academic biologists to participate in his thesis study, Biologists' Consensus on When Life Begins. The biologists identified themselves as very pro-choice, very pro-life, very liberal, very conservative, strong Democrats, and strong Republicans. After 5 years, the research showed that 95%, 5,212 out of 5,502, 95% of the biologists affirmed the biological view that a human's life begins at fertilization, revealing that biology professors in American academia overwhelmingly agree with this pro-life position. And there are other scientific studies that come to the same conclusion: life begins at conception. Even abortion doctors know they're killing children. And praise God, he saves abortion doctors. We were standing out in front of an abortion clinic that is now shut down called Berger and Benjamin. We still go there on Fridays because they do them across the street at Einstein. But we were there one day when they were still performing abortions at Berger and Benjamin there at Park and Tabor. And the doctor actually came out. We were giving away, someone had gotten us all these free cookies. We try to give away food there as well. And we were giving away all this food, and he came out, and we were talking to him about abortion and trying to persuade him that abortion is evil. And when we told him, he was asking us, why do you do this? And when we told him abortion is murder, his response was that sometimes in certain situations, the government gives us the right to murder others. So he didn't deny that he was murdering children. He just said sometimes the state says you can murder others. Think of capital punishment. He said killing these children is legal. If they changed the laws and killing them became illegal, we would stop. Even abortion doctors know they're killing children. Well, Mr. Doctor, slavery in America was also legal, but that did not make it right. Slavery, like abortion, was and is evil and should be rejected by all who name the name of Jesus Christ. If we were talking about the murder of five-year-olds, no one would be pro-choice. No one would ever conceive of voting for a political candidate who supported the murder of five-year-olds. Right? I mean, who would vote for a guy like that, that supported a parent's right to kill their five-year-old children? Only up till five, though. After six, you can't. Who would vote for that? Beloved, what's the difference? If you believe the Bible and what the Bible says about those in the womb, what's the difference in an unborn child and a five-year-old? There's going to be a Q&A afterwards, and anything I say today, please come ask questions. Please come push back. According to the Bible, a child being knit together in the womb is just as much made in God's image as a five-year-old. But Satan has so blinded the eyes of so many and hidden and erased the humanity of children in the womb so well that even among people who call themselves pro-life and claim to be Christian, they support murder. And beloved, we have to be careful that this just doesn't become run-of-the-mill for us. It's just what happens. It's just in society, we forget about it. It's just, this is the way it is. And fail to think about this, pray about this, weep over this, be concerned about this. Get behind us, Satan. May God give us eyes to see the truth and not forget what we're dealing with. Point number two was the Bible clearly and explicitly teaches that a baby in the womb is a human being. Point number three, since children in the womb are human beings, to take the life of a child in the womb is murder. Since children in the womb are human beings, to take the life of a child in the womb is murder. When parents take the life of their own child by paying a hitman doctor to do the hit, that is actually one of the most wicked, evil, gruesome kinds of murder on the planet. It's so bad that God calls it the unthinkable sin. It's the only sin mentioned in the Bible that God says is unthinkable. God speaks of it three times through the prophet Jeremiah, the third and last time in Jeremiah 32:35. They built the high places of Baal in the valley of the son of Hinnom to offer up their sons and daughters to Molech, though I did not command them, nor did it enter into my mind that they should do this abomination to cause Judah to sin. It didn't enter God's mind. I remember as a young believer reading that thing, I thought God was all-knowing. I thought He was omniscient. How could something not enter His mind? Beloved, it doesn't mean that God didn't know about it. It means this is so evil, so wicked, so gruesome, so unthinkable that it doesn't enter God's mind that people would do such a thing. That parents who are given by God to nurture, care, protect, provide for, love, bring up their children, the fear and admonition of the Lord, would kill their own children. And of course, in this context, it's in the context of idolatry to a pagan god. And yet many people today kill their children for the same reasons. Idolatry of an easier life. Idolatry of thinking they can't afford it. There are people out there that say abortion is caused by poverty. Friend, it costs more money to get an abortion than to give it up for adoption. It costs more money to have an abortion than to drop the baby off at a hospital, which in Pennsylvania, you can drop your baby off at a hospital, fire station, police station, no questions asked. At least let the baby live. That's free. Abortion costs money. So if poverty is really the issue, I got better options than abortion. But because we bow down to the idol of convenience and money and not being hindered, we sacrifice our children to those idols. No, this is unthinkable to God. And what is unthinkable to God, may it become unthinkable to us. Abortion is one of the most evil injustices in the history of humanity. Do you want to talk about oppression, exploitation of the poor, and government-sanctioned brutality? Systemic abuse? There's nothing on earth right now that even comes close to perpetuating all of these evils like abortion does. About 2,300 little babies are killed by abortion every single day in America alone. 2,300 every single day. Never makes the news. No protests. No marches. No burning cities down. 2,300 every single day. Some 60 million have been slaughtered by abortion since 1973 in America alone. Over 1.5 billion babies have been murdered since 1980 around the world. To take the life of an unborn child is murder. And God says, you shall not murder. And therefore, to be pro-choice is to be pro-murder and anti-Christ. To be pro-choice is to be pro-murder and anti-Christ. To support murder or anything else that is an abomination to God is itself an abomination to God. And it is behavior that reveals a heart that is not in submission to God or to His Word. To be pro-choice is to believe parents should have the right to pay doctors to execute their own children, to murder their own children. You cannot support that and be a Christian. God's word is very clear that murderers will not inherit the kingdom of God. 1 John 3:15, everyone who hates his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. Revelation 21:8, but as for the cowardly, the faithless, the detestable, as for murderers, the sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars, their portion will be in the lake that burns with fire and sulfur, which is the second death. God's word is also very clear that approving of what God hates and forbids is the fruit of an evil, debased, idolatrous, darkened mind and heart. In Romans chapter 1, verses 28 through 32, Romans chapter 1, verses 28 through 32, we read, "And since they did not see fit to acknowledge God, God gave them up to a debased mind to do what ought not to be done. They were filled with all manner of unrighteousness, evil, covetousness, malice. They are full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, maliciousness. They are gossips, slanderers, haters of God, insolent, haughty, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents, foolish, faithless, heartless, ruthless. Though they know God's decree that those who practice such things deserve to die, they not only do them, but give approval to those who practice them." And so you may be here this morning and say, "Well, Pastor, I would never have an abortion, but I believe it's a woman's right to do that." Well, you're in the same category, friend, because you give approval of those who do them. You're a part of that same debased, wicked, idolatrous heart and mind. If you're truly and genuinely born again and trusting in Christ alone by faith alone, you will hate what God hates and love what God loves, and you will be growing in this hatred and love as you are conformed to the image of Jesus. You cannot and will not approve of and support what God hates, because if you know and love God, you will hate evil like God does. Psalm 97:10, "O you who love the Lord, hate evil." And God hates the shedding of innocent blood by abortion. Proverbs 6, 16 through 17, "There are six things that the Lord hates. Seven are an abomination to Him: haughty eyes, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood." To be pro-choice is to support the parents' right to kill their own children. You can't be pro-choice and be a Christian. It's a direct violation of the first and second greatest commandments that Jesus gave us in Matthew 22, 36 through 39. He was asked, "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law?" And He said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment, and a second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself." You cannot love God and support the murder of those made in His very image. And you cannot love your neighbor as yourself by murdering them or supporting the right of others to murder them. Or in other words, you can't be pro-murder and be a Christian. You can't be pro-homosexuality and be a Christian. You can't be pro-child molesting and be a Christian. You can't be pro-racism and be a Christian. By the way, next week we're going to talk about the sin of racism. So come back next week, because we're going to talk about the evils of racism and partiality. And you can't be a racist and be a Christian. You can't be pro-racism and be a Christian. You can't be pro-KKK and be a Christian. You can't be pro-police brutality and be a Christian. You can't be pro-love of money and greed and be a Christian. You can't be pro-oppression of the poor and be a Christian. You can't be pro-idolatry and be a Christian. You can't be pro-anything Jesus died to save you from and deliver you from and be a Christian. You can't be anything pro. You can't be pro-anything God hates and think you're actually born again and know God. You can't. Many people are deceived into thinking that they are actually Christians when they are not. That's why Jesus warned in Matthew 7 that many would come to Him on the day of judgment thinking they know Jesus as Lord, but He will respond by telling them He never knew them and cast them into hell forever. When someone who claims to be a Christian tells me they are pro-choice, I get this sick, shocked feeling. I also sense that Satan has entered the room, mainly because this is just a whole new level of evil. It's like Hitler evil. When I see pictures of pro-choice politicians, I think there's Hitler. There's like a Hitler. And you say, "Oh, Pastor, that's way too overboard. Maybe it is because Hitler's only been given responsibility for killing 6 million Jews, whereas pro-choice politicians are saying yay and amen to a million babies a year, 60 million since 1973. So maybe it is a wrong analogy. It's the support of the absolute slaughter, beheading, and dismembering of millions of the most innocent, helpless, voiceless, defenseless human beings who have ever lived. Sometimes when I hold some of the most beautiful children in the world, little babies from our church members, and I hold them, I think that there are pro-choice people in the world who would have it so that the mothers of these beautiful children could have them slaughtered. Sometimes when I hold some of the most beautiful, precious babies on earth, children of members of our church, I think about the fact that there is a whole world of pro-choice people out there who think that this beautiful child's parents should have the right to have this innocent, helpless little baby cut up in pieces and be left for dead. This is truly an unspeakable evil. How could humanity reach such low levels of unutterable evil? Yet God tells us that this is the sinful way of the human heart. We saw it last week in Genesis 6:5. The Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intention of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Once when we were preaching up at Broughton Alney, which we do on Thursdays, I have a friend, and I don't use these signs. I have no problem with people who do, but he has these big signs of aborted fetuses, babies, where it shows you what it is. The point of these signs is to open the casket on abortion. Anybody know the name Emmett Till? Emmett Till, a young African-American young man, was from the north and visiting down south, and some white folk accused him of doing something to a white woman, and they took him and beat him and killed him and absolutely desecrated his body. And when his mom had to make a choice at that funeral, whether the casket would be open or closed, she said, "Let it be open. And you show the world what these monsters did to my little baby boy." The casket needed to be open on this evil, right? The evil of racism. And we'll talk about that next week. Come back. But you see, we need to open the casket as well on abortion, because some of y'all don't know what it is. You need to see the doctor stick the forceps up there and rip the arms and legs off. You need to hear about the fact that they cut the back of the neck of the baby and stuck a vacuum in and suck its brains out. You need to hear that. And so this sign, these signs that show mutilated corpses of little babies, people who stand for life sometimes hold those signs out so that the casket can be open on what abortion truly is. And so my buddy, he was up there with one of these signs, and there was a young lady from Africa, and she saw this sign, and my friend explained to her what this was, and she began to weep, and she began to cry, and she began to convulse, and she fell down on the ground at Broughton Alney on the pavement, and we thought she was having a mental breakdown. When she found out what people do to their own children. Beloved, that's the reaction we need to abortion. But we've become so desensitized to it. We need to be hearing this and falling down our face and having mental convulsions and tears over what they're doing to 2,300 little babies today. Her response is the proper response to abortion and being pro-choice. A mental breakdown in tears and weeping and sobbing. This is not a complicated, unclear, complex issue. There are many wicked people writing things and saying things that seem to make this a complicated, oh, it's complicated, Pastor. It's more complicated than you make it. They say it's unclear. They say it's complex. I assure you, it won't be complicated, unclear, or complex on the day of judgment when you stand before King Jesus. It will not be complicated or unclear or complex then. In one sense, abortion is just the tip of the iceberg. Sexual immorality, sexual activity outside of marriage, is one, if not the major underlying sin that leads to the sin of abortion. Again, it's not poverty. It's not rape. People ask me that question all the time. What about rape? Rape's 1% of abortions. Hardly ever happens. No, 86% in the United States in 2016, unmarried couples accounted for 86% of all abortions. So sexual morality, 86%. Sexual morality is the big iceberg under the water of abortion that comes out of the tip of the water. To stop abortion, the world must repent of both being pro-choice and of being sexually immoral. Unbelieving friend, please don't be deceived any longer. Please repent of being pro-choice. Please turn to Jesus Christ, the God-man who died on that cross for sinners, including pro-choice sinners and pro-life sinners and parents who aborted and sexually immoral sinners. Jesus died for all of them. He took the wrath and curse of God upon himself that sinners like you and me deserve. He died and was buried. Then he rose up from the dead so that all who repent, you have to repent. You have to hear what I'm saying and say, yes, Pastor, I agree with what God says about this. If you walk out in a huff and say he's being so self-righteous, he's being such a Pharisee, he doesn't understand. No, if you're broken like that girl, and you say, yes, this is what God says. This is what God's word says. I'm a sinner. I'm a murderer. I need the forgiveness of Jesus. He will save you. He will save you if you humble yourself under his mighty word and truth and humble yourself under him. Jesus died and rose to save sinners who repent and turn from their sins and believe in him. This is the good news of the gospel. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. No matter what you've done, how many times you've done it, how bad you've been, he will save you. He will forgive you. He will take your sins and cast them behind his back and remember them no more. As far as the east is from the west, he will remove your transgressions from you. He will cast them onto the depths of the ocean floor. Ah, beloved, this is the good news of the gospel. This is the good news of Jesus Christ, that no matter what we've done, we can be forgiven in Christ when we trust him by faith alone because of his life and death and resurrection. What an amazing gospel we have. And once you repent of your sins and trust in Jesus Christ, he will forgive you. Past, present, and future, you will be counted righteous in God's sight, united to Christ, adopted into God's family as his very son or daughter. You'll be filled with the Holy Spirit, and you'll be empowered to obey God. And you will give God your full loyalty and total allegiance as your Lord and King of your life. And you will more and more love what he loves, and more you will hate what he hates. Again, friend, if you've had an abortion, there is hope, forgiveness, and healing in Jesus Christ alone. And once you personally know the grace and mercy and forgiveness and love of God through faith alone in Christ alone, you will repent of all the ways that you are pro anything that God hates, including being pro-choice, and you will stand up for the life of the unborn as God's word instructs in places like Proverbs 24:11, rescue those who are being taken away to death. Hold back those who are stumbling to the slaughter. Or Proverbs 31:8-9, speak up for those who cannot speak for themselves, for the rights of all who are destitute. Speak up and judge fairly. Defend the rights of the poor and needy. Beloved, please hear the unborn baby's cries from the womb and help them. They might say something like this to us today. I am utterly alone. I am in darkness. No one wants me. No one, it seems, loves me. My father and my mother have forsaken me and even want to kill me. No doctors will help me. They only seek to kill me. Some of the most powerful people in the world fight against me, having even the most basic human rights. Millions believe I am not even human, not worthy of life outside the womb. Many so-called pastors and so-called Christians do not stand up for me. Many who claim to love me make voting decisions that ensure I will never see the light of day. Laws are in place to ensure I continue to be utterly abused and murdered. I am the most innocent. I am the most persecuted. I am the most vulnerable. I am the most helpless. I am the most forgotten. I am the most alone. I am the most widely killed, oppressed, and abused in the history of mankind. Soon I will face one of the most gruesome deaths imaginable. A man will use a knife to cut off my arms and legs and head, and I will scream and cry, but no one will hear. No one will care. I am an unborn child about to be aborted. Psalm 27:10. For my father and my mother have forsaken me, but the Lord will take me in. Ah, beloved, do you realize this was Jesus Christ? Do you realize this was Jesus Christ? Jesus Christ underwent something far worse than what we just described so that we might be saved. He was utterly alone. He was in utter darkness on that cross. His father did forsake him when he cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? The most powerful Romans put him to death. He was most innocent. He was most persecuted. He was most helpless, most forgotten. All his disciples left him. He was most alone. He was oppressed. He cried and suffered. But he bore the wrath of God. He bore the curse of God. He bore our sins in his body on the tree, even abortion sins. Was crushed, forsaken, left alone in darkness, cast out, and died and rose. That we might never face such a judgment. Hallelujah, what a Savior. Hallelujah, what a Jesus. Hallelujah, what a great salvation we have in Him, no matter what we've done, if we repent and believe in Him. And so, beloved, what should we do? We should pray. We should pray about this. Pray that God would stop this evil. There are things going on in the Supreme Court and in Texas where people are fighting within the system to try and protect the unborn. Pray that these wicked laws would be struck down. Pray that God would convict the world of sin and righteousness and judgment. Pray that parents would be convicted of their sin and doctors would be convicted of their sin and politicians would be convicted of their sin of supporting such wicked evil. Pray personally. Pray at our prayer meetings on weeknights at 7, at our noonday prayers. Pray on Wednesday and fast. We have a Wednesday fast and pray at this church where I encourage everyone to consider at least skipping the noon meal. And one of the 8 things we pray for is that God would end abortion. Come with us to what was Berger and Benjamin and pray. Share the gospel and protest. Prepare. Not only pray, but prepare. You need to know what you're talking about. That's why I offer these books. That's why I preach sermons on this. You need to be informed. I mentioned that the main question I often get is about rape. What about rape, Pastor? Do you believe that a woman should be able to abort her child if she's raped? We got it a couple weeks ago. Street cleaning lady that sees us all the time. She sees our signs. We have signs that say abortion. Abortion is murder. You shall not murder. Jesus saves. And so we hold these signs up while we're walking, talking, praying. And she sees them, but hardly ever talks to us. And she came back and talked to Ted and was asking him questions. And she said, and she was very kind and nice. Sometimes people aren't very kind and nice, but she was very kind and nice. And she said, do you judge people, if they got raped and have an abortion because they got raped? What do y'all think of that? And I get this so often that I have a procedure I go through in answering this question. The first thing you need to say is rape is evil, which it is. Rape is evil. Rape is very similar to abortion in that you're doing something with someone else's body that you don't have a right to do because it's not your body. That baby in the womb is not your body to do with what you want. That's a separate body, right? So they're very similar, but rape is evil. It's unbelievably evil, and that person who raped should be punished to the maximum. If you need to put somebody to death in this scenario, put the rapist to death, not the little baby. The little baby's innocent. The little baby's innocent. Why? It's unjust to punish the little baby for something a wicked rapist did. That's not right. You don't kill the baby because of some pervert and his sin. No, don't kill the baby. Let the baby live. If you can't handle keeping the baby because it was conceived by rape, give the baby up for adoption. So that's the first thing. Secondly, people bring that up all the time. It's 1% of abortions. 1%. It hardly ever happens, in other words. It's brought up 99% of the time, but it hardly ever happens. 1% of abortions occur because of rape. 86% occur because of sexual immorality of two consenting adults. So that's the second thing I say. And then I'll just bring up the justice of it. Don't kill the child. Punish the rapist. And then I keyed in on the word she said, do you judge people that do that? I said, ma'am, we don't judge anybody. We tell you what God says. God is the one who says this is murder. God is the one who says this. I don't care what I think. I hope you as my congregation don't care what I think. When I'm up here, I better be saying what God thinks. I don't care about my opinion. You shouldn't care about my opinion. What does God say? You see, if I'm giving you my opinion, fire me. Fire me. Who cares what Joseph Randall thinks? What does God say? We don't judge people. We tell people what God says, what will happen on the day of judgment, and what you need to do to be saved in Him. And ma'am, if you've been raped and had an abortion, God forgives. You can be saved. No matter what you've done, how bad you've been, if you repent and believe in Jesus, you shall be saved. And so we need to prepare. We need to know what we're talking about. We need to preach. I'm preaching on this now. I'm going to keep preaching on this. We need to speak to people about this. We need to give away solid literature about this. We need to protest. Write letters. Refuse to vote for pro-choice candidates. Run for office and be better politicians than we have in office now. Pray for better ones. Provide. Give money to support pregnancy centers. We support Alpha Pregnancy Center at this church. And they seek to help women. People always say this. All you care about is the baby in the womb, but once it's born, you don't care. Well, that's just not true. That's a lie. There are thousands of crisis pregnancy centers caring for women and children when they're born. Provide. Volunteer time at Alpha Care. Adopt. Adopt. God may be calling some of you to adopt children. I hear that criticism of the church in America a lot, that there are thousands of children in the foster care system. And if every church in America just adopted one child, they would all be adopted. I hear things like that from people who want you to shut up about being pro-life. And we ought to hear those criticisms and pray, Lord, what would you have me to do? Steve DeHaze is here today. He works for Beth Anna. It's a foster care organization. Talk to him. Provide. Pursue holiness. Pursue holiness. Reject sexual immorality. We need to reject sexual immorality and be holy and chaste. We need to reject abortion-causing birth control. First of all, the only birth control for single Christians is abstinence. But if you're married and choose to use birth control, be careful. There are birth control types that cause abortions, and you need to investigate that and make sure you're not using them. Reject the pro-choice mindset. And finally, pursue all of this in love. 1 Corinthians 13:3, if I give away all that I have, if I deliver up my body to be burned, but have not love, I gain nothing. We bring this up because we love. We talk about this because we love. We love preeminently the glory of God. And we love sinners, and we want them to be saved, and we love little babies. Jesus calls us to do that. And so we want to do all of this in love. Pray for me that I would do this in love. Sometimes I get in conversations with people on the street, and I don't do it in a loving way. And I need to repent when I do that. Pray that I would be loving. Pray that we would be loving. Pray that God would break our hearts for the unborn. And we do all of this looking to Jesus. We do all of this looking to Christ. Christ Jesus brought life from the womb. To be pro-choice will seal your doom. Supporting murder, death, and gloom, you'll go to hell. God's wrath will fume. Repent and turn to Christ the groom who died and rose up from the tomb. He'll save, give life, and make you bloom. So trust the Son, prepare Him room. He'll dry your tears and grief consume. All for His glory, praise resume. Oh, Father, we thank You for our faithful bridegroom, the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank You that He is a great Savior of sinners. We thank You for His Word that is absolutely clear on this. And Father, we pray that we would believe Your Word, that we would not only hear the Word, but be doers of the Word. We pray for ways in which we failed, Lord, You would grant us repentance and forgiveness, God, that You would work in our lives to make us what we ought to be, to love sinners and proclaim the gospel and tell the truth, even if it's hard. God, we pray for people this morning that this may be a hard message to hear because they've had an abortion in the past. We pray, God, that in a powerful way, they would know the height and width and length and depth of the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, and You would fill them with all of Your fullness, and they would know Your grace and know Your love and know Your forgiveness that takes away all of our sins. Father, we pray for those this morning who may have come here and consider themselves pro-choice. Father, we pray that they would be informed, that they would repent, that they would follow You. And God, we pray that You would use us for Your glory, to stand for truth, to stand for life, and do it in love and humility, all the while looking to the Lord Jesus Christ, who died and rose again for our salvation. And we ask it all in His name. Amen.